So last week we started this journey towards authenticity, and excited about some of the breakthroughs I was seeing in some people's lives, and got to hear through some conversations with some people afterward about just what God's been doing in their life. You know, I don't want to draw attention to anybody in the room, but there have been a couple losses this week. We've had some people that have lost a mother, some people that have lost an uncle, and it's been a rough week for people. And a church that's just starting out our size, man, just every little loss, every little pain that people experience, we all feel. And so, man, just before we really jump into the message, let me just take a moment and just pause and just ask God to just fill in the midst of the pain that's been experienced this week. And as we continue to kind of walk through authenticity, that God would just prepare our hearts for what he's got for us. Is that cool? And let's pray for us. God, we're just grateful that you're still here with us, Lord, and that no matter what we face this week, for some of us, we had no idea that it would be the last time we'd see somebody that we really love. And God, that's real for a few people in this room today. And so, God, I pray that you would step into that, Lord. And Lord, we know your presence is here with us, but God, I just pray your manifest presence in their life right now, God, that they would just feel you and experience you in a real tangible way, and they would walk away changed because they've been comforted by your love and enveloped in your presence. And God, we pray that for our everybody else. Lord, maybe we haven't lost somebody this week, but we've had a tough week. And Lord, this is, I know, if we're a group of people who are wanting to step into reality and step into an authentic life, God, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come against us. And so, Lord, I just pray for the protection of these people, for this church. And Lord, I just pray that as we take the next step towards authenticity today, as we get to see and celebrate some of the things that authenticity brings, Lord, I pray it'd be enough for us to take the next step. And God, we'd be encouraged. And Lord, we thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was in the military, there was this thing that we used to do if we were with an officer or somebody that was an authority over us. And because when you're in the military and you're with somebody who's an authority over you, you don't really say anything. You just kind of let them say to you what they have to say. And you just kind of sit there and you just do what you're told. And it's kind of like that. It's a really interesting environment. But every once in a while, based upon a situation or a circumstance, you would have the opportunity to request from the person that was in charge that you would have permission to speak freely. And they didn't have to give it to you, but sometimes they would give it to you. And I just remember the weight that was kind of lifted off of your life when you're able to just be real and honest with somebody who actually can make a decision that can affect you. And so I don't want to, I don't really have any examples that I really want to give, but I will say this, that in the military there are times where you're very uncomfortable and you're not happy with the way things are being run, and you're not really happy with the way that something is being done. You might be feeling used, or you might be feeling bad about something, or you just aren't really ready to do your job that day. But the environment really isn't an authentic environment, right? It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. You're just there to do your job. But every once in a while, you'd step into those moments where you could be truthful. Well, I guess I could tell a funny one. When we were in basic training, you hid everything from your training instructor. And we've actually got somebody who was a training instructor in the military here, so I'm sure he can attribute to this. But we would in basic, when you're a training instructor isn't there, you're supposed to do everything you're supposed to do, right? It's called being authentic and having integrity. In the Air Force, integrity first. That was our first core value, was integrity. That's doing the right thing even when nobody else is looking, right? Well, we were young in training, and so whenever the training instructor wasn't there, there'd be certain guys who'd sneak down to the snack machines and buy candy and bring it up. And like, candy in basic training is like drugs, right? Like, you get it, and you got, like, your candy dealers, and it's like a big deal, right? Because you only get 3 square meals a day, you don't get any snacks or anything. So, man, these guys would sneak down, and they would sell their candy, and it was just really, really interesting. But we never would tell the training instructor that. I mean, never would we open up and tell him that we had not acted in integrity, because we could get in real trouble. But on the last day after the parade and you've graduated from basic training, they have this time where they call amnesty hour, where you come in and then you're able to just, the training instructor says, all right, guys, and he talks to you normal for the first time. You know, usually it's all shouting. It's all like really, you don't even understand what he's saying, right? But then he just has a normal voice, and you realize he's a normal person, and he's married, and he has kids. Like, he's a normal human being. He's not a robot. And then he's like, all right, guys, tell me tell me the stories, what happened. Well, they do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, they kind of figure out the tricks of the trade so they can catch the next group, you know. But the other side is really just to let you breathe and remember you are a human being still. Like, you when you get out of basic training, it's not always going to be that tense. It's not always going to be that crazy. And so we would sit there, and I remember the kids that would – it was just so horrifying watching them, like, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, you know. And then they would say, well, I just thought, you know, I went down and I went to get candy when you weren't there. And everyone's like waiting to see what he's going to do. Like, he would – it's like punishable by death or something, you know. And then he would laugh. And then, you know, another kid would say – and then there'd be some guy who'd admit to something and it would, like, went way too far. And everyone's like, that was awkward, you know. And then but it was interesting because here's the truth. And it goes into our first point, is that authenticity is contagious. When you're around somebody who's real and who's honest and they don't have a problem with being who they really are and portraying an image that is exactly who they really are, it's really contagious and freeing to be around somebody like that. And in the text that we're going to study today in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we get the opportunity to see David in a very interesting moment in his life. He's right towards the end of his life, and he's about to do something that has not been done before. And what he's doing is he is taking the treasures of the nation and he's pouring them to a project, which would be the building of Solomon's temple, his son's temple, right? It's actually God's temple, but it's known as Solomon's temple. And he takes his resources in 1 Chronicles 29, and he says to the nation that, you know, like, this is something that I feel like we could do nothing better to our God. And so he takes the resources of the nation, and he lays them out there. But he doesn't just take the resources of the nation. We find out later that he says, and I have taken my own money. I've taken my own resources, my own private account that's his own, and I've emptied it for the sake of this project, okay? Now, this, we look at this message and we look at this topic, and we could use this for being charitable or being generous or being whatever, but there's an interesting note in verse 17 that I want to draw attention to, and this is what it says: I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is what I want us to see. The action of David appeared to be upright. It appeared to be the right thing to do. It appeared to be honorable. And then we later find out in this passage that it didn't only appear to be honorable, it truly was honorable because he gave it with the right intentions of his heart. And so what I love about this text, and though it has to do with giving financially, what we can learn about this, about the authentic life, is what's so beautiful about this moment is who David is portraying himself to be before everybody else is who David really is on the inside. That is the core of somebody who is authentic. And what we get to see in this text is that because he was portraying to everybody else what was really happening inside of his own heart, it caught like wildfire. The leaders of the people saw that the king was reaching into his own pocket to give of his own money, his own stuff, not the nation's stuff, but his own stuff for this project, because he believed this what was honorable to God. And so he did that, and so they watched him do that, and so what did they do? They reached into their pockets. They reached into the depths of who they were to give as well. Why? Because they saw something that was beautiful. They saw their leader who they had trusted before, time after time, the same guy that they had followed in battle after battle, in victory after victory, and they've said, you know what? This guy's being legit. This is a real, honest, authentic moment, and we want to step into this. So they began to give, and then the people noticed the leaders giving, and then the people gave, and all of a sudden, this real cool thing happens. All the resources needed to create this temple were given. Why? Because Israel was a generous people? No, because the leader was authentic. God used the authenticity of David in this moment, his genuine heart, his genuine spirit, his ability to communicate to people what was really happening in his own life, and God blessed that, and everybody else followed suit. The first thing I wanted to see about being authentic and being honest is that it's contagious. There is nowhere that is more less authentic than in a locker room. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you guys, remember a locker room? Locker room is like, guys, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like when you get in the locker room, you portray yourself in an image that's not even close. You tell stories that never happened, right? You talk about, oh, man, you know, man, I'm about to dunk, and you can't dunk, and you know, man, I can do this or this. Oh, this girl and me and her, we didn't know. Nah, that didn't really happen either. But we just portray this image because we try to one-up. You ever met a one-upper? Okay, I've been a one-upper before, and then somebody called me out, because like somebody would tell a story, and I'd be like, I got something better, you know, because I love to tell stories, but that's annoying, because it's like, oh, Jason's telling another great story because his life is so much better than mine, right? And so, and that was the image. I didn't realize I was doing that. I think my wife had called me out on that, and I stopped, but you ever been around a one-upper? It's like you say something, and they come up, and then have you ever been around somebody who exaggerates all the time? Okay, I used to do that too, okay? And so you just exaggerate. All of a sudden, you start exaggerating things you don't even have to exaggerate about. You know what I mean? It's silly that you even said that. Like you sat at the light for a minute, but you say, I sat there for 2 minutes. Like, why? I mean, what was the big deal? It didn't change the direction of the story. But you just kind of get into this feel that, man, you got to exaggerate things to make it better. And when you're around somebody like that, first of all, you just want to kind of get away from them. But second of all, especially in like a locker room environment, what happens is everybody just tries to one-up each other, and next thing you know, it's like a big fairy tale. Nothing that's being said is true. Now, I wish I could say that only takes place in the locker rooms across the world, but that's not true. That happens everywhere. I'm not a woman, but I'm sure that there's places where women get together and they brag about things that aren't really true about their own lives. Right? Is that true, ladies and men? Or is every lady authentic and real? Okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay, good. All right. Proves my point. So, what I thought about is so cool about this is, you know, David, and we're going to get to this later in the sermon, but, man, David did not always do everything right. We really glorify David. I mean, David is the guy who slayed Goliath. You ever heard that story? Just beast, you know? And he led his nation in so many battles they shouldn't have won, and they just won. And he's just a fearless guy, just awesome. A man after God's own heart. Man, David really messed up in his life. Really, really messed up in his life. But what I love about the story we're going to read about today is that he didn't allow the things that he had done in the past to stop him from being the person that God had created him to be. And what we're going to see in this moment is a man who just steps up and says, you know what? God is stirring in my heart, and I'm going to be vulnerable to my people. I'm going to be vulnerable to my people, and I'm going to give of not just what I have, not just the riches of everybody, but I'm going to give of my own. I'm going to empty out my bank account because this is so important to me, and then to just watch the rest of the country respond. I think it's a really beautiful thing. Authenticity and honesty are contagious. I've had a few friends in my life that they just get real. And whenever they get real, my response, usually automatic response, is to get real back. I don't know if you've ever been sitting across from somebody in a meal or hanging out at the house, and they just say, hey, can I be real with you? Just the fact that we have to say that with people proves that we live in an inauthentic world. I say this all the time. I'm trying to get myself to stop saying it, but, man, to be honest with you. Like, right, it's like I have to preface when I'm really being truthful. Because the rest of my life is just a bunch of fake stuff, right? It's like, to be honest, like, why do I even say that? But you get around a friend, and they're there, and they just say, can I be real with you? And you're like, yes. And then they open up themselves to you about something. Something beautiful happens in that moment. Because you realize they're opening themselves. They're very vulnerable right now, and they opened up. And many times in my life, my natural response to that is, oh my goodness, this is a great moment because I got some stuff I really need to get off my chest too. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's a beautiful thing, and I've had this happen multiple times where somebody says, man, I got to open up with you right now. I'm struggling with something right now. And it's like the red light goes off like, ding, ding, ding. God's like, this is your chance. Open up. They've been vulnerable. Now you're vulnerable. And some of you in this room, you've had that moment, and it's been beautiful. Unfortunately, some of you in this room have had that moment, and the other person's hurt you because they just weren't ready to be vulnerable. And so they took whatever you communicated and turned it against you, and it hurt you. And for some of you, you're like, I love this whole journey towards authenticity. I'm going to go one step while the rest of the church goes five or six steps because I've been hurt before, I've been wounded before, I've been scarred before. Let me encourage you. Don't let the fact that somebody wasn't able to handle your authenticity Don't let that be what holds you back from being the person God's created you to be. Just be real. Because the truth is that authenticity and honesty are contagious. We see this in that passage. We see what he says. He says, "In these things I've given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." In other words, what he's saying is, what's beautiful is that, God, I stepped out and did what I thought you were telling me to do, and I did it with authenticity. I did it with a genuine heart and a genuine spirit. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I wasn't doing it for my own glory. I was just doing what I felt like you told me to do. I was the same person out on the front stage that I was backstage, and then all of a sudden everybody saw it and responded and started doing the same. It's a beautiful moment in the history of the nation of Israel, and my belief is it could be a beautiful moment for us as a church today as well. It's a privilege when somebody lets you in to their life. There's a realness and a rawness that's beautiful. We could have more relationships like that. And you're like, but I know, man, if I opened up with this person, they wouldn't open up back. Guess what? You probably shouldn't be their friend. Like, seriously, you want to gauge if you should really be involved in a deep friendship with somebody, a yoked relationship? You guys know the difference? Like, a yoked relationship, Scripture talks about being yoked or unequally yoked. It's like you're, like, in the battle with them. You're an ox, they're an ox, and you've got the same yoke, and whatever direction you go, you go. If you have those type of relationships where you're that closely connected, if I say to you today, can you be honest with them? And you say, well, I can be honest with them, but I'm not sure if they could be honest with me. You don't need to be in that yoked relationship, friendship. You know, maybe you're married to that person right now. Perfect time for some marital counseling. Because we got some danger, red lights going off everywhere. Could be a problem. Authenticity and honesty are contagious. The second thing we see in this passage is that authenticity and honesty are pleasing and promote unity. Look at verse 22. It says, they ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. This is what was happening. So David steps out. He's like, God, I really feel like this is what you're wanting me to do. In my genuineness of my heart, this is what I want to do for you. So I'm going to do it before the people. I'm going to be the same thing you're telling me in my prayer closet, the same thing you're telling me backstage, I'm going to present to the front stage. It's going to be the exact same. People respond, they start giving as well, and next thing you know, the whole nation's celebrating. They're eating together, they're enjoying the presence of the Lord. Authenticity and honesty are pleasing and promote unity. Look at Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I like that one. Now let me stop here and just kind of give a little clarity here. You ever maybe you do this, or maybe you have somebody in your life, they're like, man, I just need to be real. And then they say something that's hurtful. You know what I'm talking about? Being authentic and honest doesn't mean being a jerk. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm only going to be real. Like, here's my deal. If you're going to be real from an encouraging standpoint and be real from a sharing truth standpoint. But don't just pick and choose, like, man, I'm going to be real right now. Man, you're annoying me right now. Like, don't do that. That's not being genuine, because in the inside, my thing is this. Are you opening up and sharing the moments in life when they're encouraging to you? You know, I mean, I'm just telling you, I've had one of these weeks where it's like, it's so hard for me to communicate the positive things because I'm so overwhelmed with some of the negative stuff. And so what we do is we're like, man, I'm just about to explode. I'm just not going to say anything. Man, I just need to be honest. You're doing this. You're wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. What's happened is, because I haven't been able to be real about the things I'm upset about, I struggle being real about the things that I like or that are positive. So I just keep it all in. That happens in marriage. That happens in friendships. That happens in relationships. This is what the Scripture's saying, that people like somebody who's honest. But honesty doesn't always mean telling people the bad news. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus shared grace and truth. He shared both. He wasn't always just downing people and making them feel terrible about the sin in their life, but he was encouraging them too. He spoke life into them. That's what Jesus is calling for us to be as well. Authenticity and honesty are pleasing and promote unity. So what I'm saying is that God wants you to be honest. God wants you to be the same person backstage that you are on the front stage. But take a look at your cue cards. I mean, take a look at the things that you're saying. Are they all negative? Are they all tearing down? You're like, man, I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm just trying to be honest right now. When's the last time you prefaced a positive thing with, I'm just got to be honest right now? When's the last time you said, man, I just got to be honest right now. You look beautiful today. Right? Man, let me speak the truth here. You really made me feel good the other day. Does that happen a lot, guys? Seriously, am I the only one who's like, I got to be honest with you right now. You're driving me nuts. Right? That's usually how it works out, right? Maybe in your experience, the people who are around you don't appreciate the realness that you have. And once again, let me just ask you, what is realness to you? What is it to really speak the truth in your life with your loved one, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers? If the truth is always a downer, if the truth is always negative, the problem is within you, not within them. Authenticity should bring joy. And last is this, authenticity and honesty bring freedom and healing. This is the great stuff. I'm pumped about this. So not only does authenticity and honesty, is it contagious? Not only is it pleasing and promote unity, but here's the cool part. It gives freedom and healing. And so let me kind of tell you a little bit of the background of the story. Some of you are going to be very familiar with it. For some of you, it might be the first time you know it. So David's just about to die, and he feels like God is calling him to be a part of giving the resources of the nation and his own personal resources and lead a movement of the nation to put together the resources to build this unbelievable temple for God's worship. And we think, man, David is an awesome guy. He really wasn't. Because what we find out in Scripture is that David got so big for his britches that when all the other kings were going off to battle one day, David decided to send all of his mighty men out and all of his nation in battle, and David stayed home and chilled. And while he was staying at home and chilling, he's standing on the top of out of his window and looking out, and he sees a beautiful woman who's bathing. And the beautiful woman, she is great, beautiful. He's the king, right? This is free for the taking. Well, unfortunately, she was married to a guy named Uriah the Hittite. And not only was Uriah the Hittite a great warrior, but he was one of David's mighty men. All right, David's mighty men, whenever they talk about them in the Scripture, they're always prefaced with how many people they've killed, right? They'll be like, this guy, and he killed 800 men with one spear. You're like, pretty beast, right? Or Benaniah, he killed a man and then chased a lion down a pit on a snowy day and killed it with his bare hands. You're like, okay, these guys are beasts, right? This was Uriah. This was his wife. And Uriah is fighting for the country, fighting for the nation, ultimately fighting for God. And David's at home chilling. And he looks out and sees this woman and says, that's what I want. So he does what a king can do. He uses his power and his influence. He calls her. She comes. Things happen. Guess what? She gets pregnant. David says, uh-oh, this was bad. I got a plan. And what I love about this story is you watch his plan, and his plan is so much like us. When we sin, what is the first thing we do? Okay, let me figure out how I can cover this up. And then he didn't just do it once. He had like three backup plans to cover this thing. But ultimately what he did was he had him come back home, and he tried to set it up to where Uriah would have time with his wife, and then when she was pregnant, it would kind of all look like it was him. Maybe, wow, the baby was born a little early, but I don't know, you know. Well, Uriah has so much integrity. Check it out. He's the same way backstage as he is front stage. This is what he says to David. When David says, go hang out with your wife, he says, no, I'm going to sleep outside the tent because while the mighty men of God are out battling, I am not going to go lay with my wife because they can't do the same with theirs. So I'm gonna be a man of integrity. I'm going to sleep outside. David's like, oh, gosh. I messed with the wrong woman and the wrong man. And so he's ringing his head. He's like, what do I do? Oh, I got it. I'm going to send him to the front of the battle line, and I'm going to tell his commander that when he's entrenched in the midst of a battle against a very, very dominating foe, pull everybody back from him and let him die. guys, are y'all following me on this? Do you see how nasty that got? It went from, I saw this girl bathe and she looked good, to, I'm a murderer. Like, this is David, right? I mean, we're getting all excited, like, trying to say, hey, let's follow David's example. But I'm telling you, it hasn't always been that way for him. And what happens is Uriah goes out in the fight. They do exactly what they did, and Uriah is struck down and he dies. And then his wife mourns because her husband, who is a man of integrity, is now dead. And then when her mourning is over, David calls her into the house to be his wife. Doesn't sound like a hero, does it? This is bad. I mean, he would be like Jerk of the Year award, right? This is what I love about the way God works in our lives and our hearts. We're all like that. I mean, you might say, oh, I've never done that. But maybe you have. And God looks at you and says, listen, as nasty and as dirty as your heart can be, because we're all guilty of this, he looks and says, but I want to take you and make you new, and I want to use you as an example of authenticity and honesty. Isn't that crazy? And we get insight into this in Psalm 51. I'm going to read it in NIV. I think ESV is going to be on there. It's very similar, but it says, this is David's cry. This is what happens. David doesn't even get honest about that, just so y'all know, give a heads up. He's going to live with that sin the rest of his life and take it to his grave. And the Lord's prophet Nathan calls him out on it. And it's very embarrassing. It becomes public that David has sinned. And this is David's response in Psalm 51. This is beautiful. It's his response to God. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Let me just stop there right there. What he's saying is, God, you're desiring for me to be truthful in my inmost parts. In other words, you're desiring for me to be the same backstage as I am front stage. And I'm just being honest with you, God. I'm not there. God's response, he continues, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be water whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. And the psalm continues. This is what I love. This is what he's saying. He says, God, this is the person that I am right now is not the person I want to be. The inauthenticness, the fakeness, the facade, the lies. Everyone thinks I'm a hero, but really I'm just rotten. He's like, I don't want this anymore for my life. And he asked God to please cleanse him, to forgive him. And then upon the forgiveness and the cleansing of God, this is what he says, if you cleanse me, O God, then I will teach transgressors their ways. In other words, I will take what you have done in my life, and I will use it, the forgiveness that you give me, I will use it then to be a testimony for people to come. And you know what we get to see is what we're studying in Chronicles 29, is we're getting to see the answer to this prayer. David's life is not defined by his mess up. He doesn't respond by trying to hide it anymore. He doesn't respond by trying to smooth over it anymore and act like it didn't happen. David knows full well that it's been exposed. David knows full well that the nation knows that he has not always done everything well. But I'm telling you what, when you look at his history and when you look at what people know him as and when you look at people that tell his story, yeah, the mess up is in there, but for the most part, he's used as an example of somebody who's authentic, who's real, and who's a man after God's own heart. And I'm just, here's the awesome encouragement. If you find yourself at a place right now where you know what you're portraying to other people is different than who you really are, here's the beauty. There is freedom in Jesus. You don't have to stay there. David did not stay there. And because of that, God used him for unbelievable things in his life. So authenticity is contagious. It promotes unity and it promotes joy. But here's the awesome part. It gives us freedom. And it brings healing. This doesn't just take place in our relationship with God. I'll close with this verse in James 5:16. It's kind of a theme verse that we'll use throughout this series. It says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And so once you can be honest with the Lord and once you can be honest with God, you have the opportunity to be honest with other people. And maybe your next step today, check it out, maybe your next step today is just to get honest with God. You say, gosh, I'm not ready to say anything to anybody around me. I'm not going to ask you to, but I am going to say this. I want you to be honest with the Lord right now. Is your front stage and your backstage the same? And if it's not, rest in his forgiveness. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, what just an awesome story of a guy named David who really messed up. But Lord, he cried out to you and you forgave him. And his life was not defined by his mess up anymore. And God, I believe that's the message that you have for us today. We don't want to play church. We don't want to just smile and sing the songs and clap our hands, even if we can clap through the whole song. Pat ourselves on the back and walk out and smile and go right back to the shadows, God. Lord, we rest in the fact today that you really do forgive us. And you really forgive us through Jesus. That our iniquity, that our sin, that our mess ups were laid on him. Scripture even goes as far to say that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God. What that means is that your sin, as deep and as dark as it can be, was placed on Jesus and was sacrificed on the cross. And that sacrifice was acceptable to God the Father. And we know it was acceptable to God the Father because Jesus rose again on the third day. And he's alive today. And because of that, you have been offered eternal life. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You do not deserve it. You can't do anything to earn it. But today he offers it to you. And you don't have to have a deep, dark secret in your past. All of us are sinful. And so if you're here today and you say, I just need to respond to the forgiveness of Jesus today, I'm in a situation similar to David. It might not be as drastic in our world standards, but you know it's not right. And you just need to respond to the forgiveness of Jesus. I want to give you a few moments to do that. Maybe you're here today and this is kind of old news to you. But man, something I said earlier in the message caught you, and it was when we were talking about the fact that you had opened up to somebody and they hurt you, and because of that, it scarred you. And you're not able to really be real with people anymore. It's not that you're hiding anything, it's really hard for you to open up. And I want you to know there is somebody you can open up to today, right now, and it's Jesus. Tell him how you feel, tell him how it hurts, and he understands. And through the process of coming clean with him and being open with him, I know that he'll give you the freedom to be able to be a person who can be honest and authentic again in your life. And so just take a few moments now just to let him know he hears you. In just a few moments, we're going to enter into a time of response. And there's a lot of different ways to respond. You can just stay seated and you can pray. Maybe you can stand and you'll worship and sing the words that are on the screen. Maybe your response is, and there's a next step in your faith in Jesus. And so you take that card that you have on your chair and you fill it out. And on the back side, there's some different ways that you can respond to Jesus, or some summaries of some ways you can respond. Check one of those. If If none of it fits, just write on the card whatever it is you feel like God's calling you to do. And let us as a church walk with you so you're not alone. But during this response time, I want you to respond the way that God has called you to respond, not the way that somebody else does or not the way you feel like somebody wants you to, but enter into the step of authenticity and make the step based upon what you feel like God's calling you. That's what David did. He did what he felt like God was calling him to do, and God ended up blessing it. So you do what it is that God is calling you to do in this moment. God, thank you for these people. Thank you for the opportunity that we can be authentic because of the gospel, because we've been set free. And Lord, as we sing to you from the inside out, may our inside and our outside be the same. Unify those today, God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.